You ever wonder what celebrities smell like?
Yeah.
I feel like every time I run into somebody I haven't seen any in a while, they'll be like, hey, I saw you had an interview with so-and-so. And I'll be like, oh, yeah. And then they'll be like, did you smell them? Isn't that a weird question to get asked?
That is a very strange question. But, you know, I was at a concert one time, a private show, and I had a friend who caught an article of clothing from an artist when they threw it off stage. It was Ja Rule. So strange. And that'll tell you the time period. And when they caught it, the first thing they did was smell it.
Right.
And I always found that to be so strange. And it was a guy. I was like, bro, you caught the shirt. What do you care what it smells like?
Let's see if it smells like sweat or I don't know, like his natural body odor.
It was so weird.
And then I kind of fell into the vortex online of like which celebrities smell like what.
Okay.
Because you know like some people have specific scents? I don't think I have a specific scent, right? I don't think you do.
No, I mean, I think that if anything, it's soap and water, right?
Right.
I mean, I've got a natural musk, but I don't think it's anything that's a little bit stinky or whatever.
I think if you got close to me, you'd be like, she smells like stale coffee breath, which would be accurate, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't wear cologne anymore, so I would imagine it's a combination of my deodorant and whatever.
All right. So Harry Styles, according to Lizzo and all the members of One Direction, says he smells like linen. Like, you know, like when you get by the candles that smell like linen?
Sure.
That's what he smells like.
I mean, that's a clean smell.
I agree. Matthew McConaughey doesn't wear deodorant, and a lot of people say he smells like granola. I don't know if that's good or not.
I mean, I think he's a hippie-type dude. You
smells
know,
crunchy.
That was that whole conga incident where, you know, the cop showed up and he was naked at his door playing the drums.
I met Matthew McConaughey one time.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't remember what he smelled like. I was taken back by how tight his leather pants were. That diverted my
attention.
The handsome
man, I'm sure, in person. Wow.
Very tall. Robert Pattinson allegedly smells like crayons.
I've heard that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't like the way crayons smell. And I'm not sure how you smell like that.
I heard that that movie he did with Reese or whatever, it was unattractive. The smell and the fact that just, I guess he had bad breath too or something, or he was sick.
Beyonce's-
I heard him say that.
Beyonce smells like cocoa butter and lemons.
Oh, that makes sense.
And smells, I think, delicious,
like
right?
A fruit basket, really.
Yeah. And then, like, the really bad ones. People have reported that Christina Aguilera smells like hot dogs.
Really?
And that Kesha admits that somebody once told her that she smells like shrimp on a diaper. Now, I don't know what shrimp on a diaper smells like,
well,
but it doesn't
positive.
Sound good.
Yeah,
no,
it's not good, I wouldn't think.
Who do you think would be the best smelling celebrity?
Are we doing guys or girls?
Either.
Okay, I'll say Brad Pitt, depends on the movie.
I agree.
Right?
I
Some
think
movies?
Yes, he smells like a good smelling man.
Some movies, I think he looks like he smells great. Like the Ocean's movies,
yeah.
I think you're like, wow. He wears that suit well. You're like Brad Pitt, you know. Mm-hmm. I bet you he smells good. Other ones, though, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or even Bullet Train, I'm thinking, you know, it's a little like dried, caked on sweat kind of thing. Not always that great. I think he gets into his character.
I think Brad Pitt always smells good.
Yeah.
You know who I think doesn't smell good?
Who's that?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
I think that he's so self-centered at this point in his life. That he feels like it doesn't matter if I never shower or never brush my teeth. Like, everybody will flock to me anyway. I bet you he's stinky.
You know what, Leo? I'm on your side. I don't think that's a real thing.
Why is it trending? Top news stories trending and why. And the Super Bowl teams have been set and everything football has been trending around it. Philadelphia Eagles are the NFC champions, beating the San Francisco 49ers 31-7. How did that feel, Raven?
I thought you said that we weren't going to do that. We just had that conversation. I thought you said we weren't going to do it. It didn't feel good. They hurt our third, you know, quarterback. You know what? I'm not even going to get into it.
Uh-huh.
It didn't feel good at all.
All right.
I'm very upset about it.
All right, but here's the Eagles coach, Nick Sirianni, talking about the Eagles fans.
You see this city and the passion that they have for this team, and we're so appreciative of this of these fans. I mean, look at this place. There's no place like this in the NFL. And it's a hardworking city. It's a blue collar city, and we tend to think that's what the type of team we have.
And it was beautiful. And when you see fans come together
beautiful.
And celebrate like that, it's nice.
It was beautiful. You watched it. You watched it live?
I did.
Yeah,
actually,
you're
I did.
A liar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Filthy liar.
But here's the thing. Another reason that the NFL was trending last night had nothing to do with any of this. It was the Empire State Building. So the Eagles fans are very passionate, correct? But so are the New York Giants fans. So when the Empire State Building lit up green and white.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
They wrote and they tweeted, the Empire State Building tweeted, "Fly, Eagles, fly. We're going green and white in honor of the Eagles' NFC Championship victory." And everybody freaked out because they were like, what are you talking about? They're
feels like
rivals.
Selling out to me.
Why would you do that? But then they got a ton of backlash online. I mean, obviously. And they switched the colors to red and white. And they tweeted, that hurt us more than it hurt you. Now we're lit for the Chiefs in honor of the AFC win.
Why would they want to be lit for the Chiefs after that? Like, I mean, this used to be just a New York thing.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Stop lighting it up different colors.
Yeah, just for everybody?
Right, red, white, and blue is fine.
I think they just want to show off they got new light bulbs or something. Like, seriously.
Also, the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20 to become the AFC champions. But it was wildly awkward because the Cincinnati mayor went on this strange tirade on Friday, saying that it was weird that Kansas City wasn't located in Kansas. Then he called out the Chiefs' home stadium. He called it Burrowhead Stadium instead of Arrowhead Stadium.
Yes, yeah.
But then the most uncalled for weirdest part about the whole thing is that he asked for a paternity test for the Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, to make sure his new baby was actually his and didn't belong to his team's quarterback, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's too far.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing. First off, if you're not on the field, you should watch how much junk you talk, because right? You put you guys in a position. But yeah. That's just inappropriate.
Also, like, I like when the mayors do, like, the friendly bets, and it's sure. funny, and they do things like, I'm going to send you a block of
There's
cheese.
There's nothing friendly about these two teams at this point.
No, like, that was really mean.
They don't like each other.
Right. But one of Patrick Mahomes' teammates was quick to come to his rescue after the win.
Hey, I got some wise words for that Cincinnati mayor. Know your role and shut your mouth, you jabroni.
They were lucky to win that game. But I will just say that.
Everybody's
lucky. They're talking like they stomped. No, I mean, they won by 3 points in
yeah,
the last second.
It was a close game. Mm.
They were lucky, and they got a call. They're lucky they won that game. But there you go, Chiefs and Eagles.
Yep, and that's going to be happening in 2 weeks at Glendale, Arizona. And Rihanna will be the halftime performer, which is what I'm looking forward to. All right, I guess you got to pick now. Chiefs or Eagles, who are you going to take?
Oh, gosh. I feel like barfing just thinking about it. I'm going to go, I want the Eagles at this point. That's what I want.
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I like Patrick Mahomes. And his wife, she's funny. Well, if you follow her on Instagram, she's hilarious, so I'll take her.
I feel the opposite way.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Wouldn't it feel good to start the week by just getting stuff off your chest? Here's your chance to do it. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jenna.
If you drive side by side with a car on the highway for miles, that is all I need to know about you.
I can't stand that. We're obviously got to be doing the same speed, right? Or else they wouldn't be side by side the whole time. I can't stand that person.
And it's always 45 or something way too slow.
It's right. Yeah. It's always too slow. Mm-hmm. And it's a two-lane highway. Because if it's a three-lane highway, it doesn't bother you. Mm-hmm. You can get around this person. You can pass this person. It always drives me insane when I encounter that person.
But also, like the tandem drivers, doesn't it bother you? Like, to me, it would bother me if I'm driving and the person next to me is, like, side by side.
Oh, yeah.
I either need to pass them or if they have to go faster. Like, for some reason, driving side by side with another car just makes me nervous.
I mean, it's inherently more dangerous.
Yeah.
You're right next to each other and you're kind of in that peripheral spot where you're like, blind spot but not blind spot. Like, it's just far more intense for no reason. I'm with you.
Caitlin, that's all I need to know about you.
Hey, if they deliver someone else's food to your table and you keep it, that's all I need to know about you.
It's low. But when you're in a really, really busy place, you'll consider it at times.
But what if, like, they order something that you didn't order? But, you know, and it comes, but it looks really good.
Right.
Like nachos or like potato skins. Like, and you said, no, we don't need the nachos. We don't need the potato skins. But now it's there and you're like, oh, is this a gift? You know?
I was at the wing joint this past weekend for, you know, some of the big games. And I tell you, man, it's hard to get a drink when it's really, really that busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come by with somebody else's drinks.
And you say,
and you really, really want to take. My friend, I looked him dead in the face. Like, he was like, he took 10, 15 seconds to ponder it.
Mm.
When the waitress was like, you know, still like, no, are these yours? She was completely prepared to drop them. And then he was like, they're not ours.
Right.
He was so upset about it.
I'll take it one step further. If you order from like delivery, pizza delivery,
yes.
and they accidentally bring it to your house and you take it, that's all I need to know about you. You know, it's happened. You're shaking your head like it's work. Let me tell you what happened. So, you know, my dad owns pizza restaurants. somebody had ordered a delivery, and the front address and the back address, I guess it was like a landlord and a tenant. Okay. They don't have a good relationship for whatever reason. They don't, whatever.
Sure.
We're finding this all out afterwards. The tenants took their pizzas. They knocked and said, oh, did you order these pizzas? They said yes. They took the pizzas. We get a call at the restaurant like a half hour later saying, where's our pizzas?
Right.
And the delivery guy's like, no, they were delivered. They were accepted. And the guy flipped out on us. Like, it was our fault that their tenants took the pizza. Like, what are you supposed to do? It's the same address.
No. You got an ID for pizzas nowadays. That's
you
have
it. The ID?
That's it. Tell your guy he's got an ID for pizzas nowadays.
That's ridiculous. I'm gonna have to see your license.
Right.
We're going to get these pizzas.
We're going to send you a text code. What is that number? Tell it back to me. Now you can have these pizzas.
You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel.
This is my George Foreman feminized grill.
Wait, call now. We'll give you a second set. Absolutely free.
See all those items that are for sale on Amazon? Ever wonder if they really work? We try them so you don't have to. And I saw at a bachelorette party last weekend that these women were wearing these things called party patches. And they're hangover remedies. It's a patch you put on you when you start drinking. And then you don't get hungover. And ironically enough, all four of us, Raven, producer John, and producer Sean, all had events this past weekend where we would be drinking. So I bought us a whole bunch of them, and I said, let's put it to the test. All right, so my husband and I went to a wine and food festival. We were staying overnight. Here's us putting on our patches.
Here's the first problem with these party patches. They smell awful.
This thing stinks.
It really stinks. They're not really sticking. All I got to do is dance, and it's going to fall right off.
Your patch. Mm.
I could not get it to stay on. I tried everything. I wet it. I did everything. I was like, I almost was like, should I duct tape it to my arm? And I was like, Paul, I can't wear it. And he goes, well, I'm not going to smell like this for your dumb radio bit. So
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he like took his off and he threw it away. And I mean, we didn't drink that much. So I don't know if we would have been good tests anyway, but So, producer John, you were doing a Battle of the Bands this weekend, right?
Yep.
Okay, so you had a lot of drinking going on.
Mm.
My God, this thing does smell very bad. The party patch is on. You hold it for 5 seconds, and we're going to see how we feel. Tomorrow, it's party time.
All right, so you put it on, you went to party, and how was it the next morning?
So, nothing's going to make up for the dehydration and the lack of sleep. But in general, I think this thing worked. I don't feel like have a bad headache or anything like that. I don't feel nauseous.
Oh.
Did you make any friends while you wore it?
Definitely not. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. If anybody who was sitting on the right side of my body would have smelled like, you know, 500-year-old Flintstone vitamins. Yeah. Is basically what. And can I tell you, too, like, you know, not to be, but like the bathroom the next, like you ever eat a whole bunch of asparagus?
Sure.
Okay.
It's the exact situation.
Okay.
Nice.
That was a little TMI, but all right.
Right.
That's good. Producer Sean, let's see how it went with Sean.
I've had about 7 shots now, and this is my 2nd White Claw.
Okay.
Good times.
I'm going to apply the patch in a dry, hairless area. Oh, my God. No, put it on my
back. No, let me
put it
right
there.
Here.
Just put it on my shoulder.
There's too much hair right there.
There's not too much hair. Just put it there.
Okay.
I mean, you get argumentative when you're 7 shots in.
I mean, what?
That video is so funny until you hear the child's laughter in the background.
We're going to post. We have videos of all this that we're going to post on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. Sean's not wearing a shirt for whatever reason. Probably at the 7
Never.
Shots. So how do you feel the next day?
So party patch totally worked. Had like 1 cup of water after drinking last night and putting the party patch on and no hangover.
All right. So 2 people so far said it works if you can get it to stick and deal with the smell. But Raven.
I planned on shaving my arm here before I put this on. You're supposed to put it on bare skin, but we're already down 7-0. So I figure I better get things cracking. Oh, it is pungent.
Let's just hold on. Wait a second.
Oh,
I'm
my
just,
God.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait a minute.
So I figure I better get things cracking.
Yeah, he's got to get things quacking, guys.
Either way, I put the patch on.
Yeah.
I'm still wearing the patch at this point. Let me tell you something. Sleeping with the patch on, I'm not sure if that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
My pillow smells. My wife was unhappy with the smell in the room.
Yeah.
I want to take it off. It's on still at this point. I'm
take
happy
it off.
To take it off. Yes,
take
please.
It off.
I mean, you could smell it here in the studio.
Are you
right?
Hungover? No, right?
Oh, my God. When you take it off, it smells even worse.
Yeah.
No, I'm not hungover.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't been to the lab yet this morning. So who knows if that's going to, you know, have the same results that John had.
I better get things cracking.
Yeah.
Anna and Raven's Hell of a Story.
If you have a hell of a story, you can head to annaandraven.com, click on Hell of a Story, and it's your turn to be the storyteller on the air. Now, Kay, you have a hell of a story. What happened?
About 7 years ago, I was coming home from Goldsboro, North Carolina, which is 89 miles from my door. And when I got to the exit, the minute I put my signal on, I ended up in Raleigh, North Carolina, which was 40 miles west, and sitting in my car. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and it was two cops had pulled up behind me, about four car lengths behind me. So I got out the car, and they got out the car. And when I saw them, I nearly passed out because they were like 7 or 8 foot tall, and they were really white. When they walked up to me, the tallest one said was, "Do you realize that you had two tractor trailers behind you the whole time?" And I said, "Sir, I don't even know how I got here." He goes, "Are you taking drugs or drinking?" I said, "No, sir, I take medicine." And then he goes, "Let me smell your breath." When he bent over, my head was at his waist. I didn't know what to say or what to do. And he, you know what he said? He goes, "Okay, you can go. You're fine." So I get in the car, and I look in my rearview mirror, and they're not there. And I look around, and I'm not on a road. I'm in grass. And there's no road around me anywhere. So I started the car, and I put it in drive. And honest to God, I end up in Tarboro, North Carolina, which is 73 miles from right there where I was parked at. And I was supposed to get off the exit at Rocky Mount, which was 50-some miles.
How did you get home?
When I woke up, I was in Tarboro. And I knew then that something wasn't right because I didn't remember driving from the time I put the car in drive to that place. I looked around, and I saw an exit ramp. I got on it, and I got back on 95 and come home. And the thing of it is, I missed only 20 minutes late coming home, and it shouldn't have been, but an hour and 15 minutes getting me home.
You think you were abducted by aliens? Is that what you think happened?
I think I jumped time.
Okay, the police officers, the tractor-trailer incident and so forth, the image of these men being so tall. And,
oh, God, that freaked me out.
Yeah, and this bright white or almost this blinding gray.
But
so
their faces were normal?
They were real white. They had real white skin and white faces, but they were in uniform.
Gosh, I mean, you hear about people with the flashbacks and the memories of things. And, you know, obviously a lot of times it's some sort of experiment, some sort of probe. But, you know, there's no fear in what you're telling me. It's just kind of, again, this bewilderment, which is so odd.
Yes. It's terrifying because you don't know what happened.
As to this day, I cannot even fathom how I got from point A to point B and from point B to point C before I hit 95 and come home.
That is a hell of a story, and that's got to be scary. How long ago did this happen?
About 7 years ago, I think.
I wonder if there's other people out there with similar occurrences that they felt like something like this happened. The combination of losing time, covering distance, and, you know, encountering what only can be described really as giant beings who don't seem to be human, yet they're human.
It's so unreal even just to talk about it.
All right. Thank you so much, Kay. If you have a hell of a story, too, submit it at annonraven.com. Did you ever find somebody and they have a really surprising thing on their resume? We are looking for interns. We're always looking for interns also if, you know, someone looking for an internship.
Right, if you're interested.
Yeah. But we got a resume and the person really wasn't qualified, you know, for the job. Not that there's a lot of qualifications.
I was going to say, I mean, who really is qualified and goes and gets the qualifications before they apply to radio?
I don't think they realize it was an unpaid internship because they don't even go to college. But anyway, on their resume, it said airplane repossession assistant.
Okay.
And I didn't know what that was. So I immediately was like, So I started Googling it.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that there's companies that repossess airplanes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you don't pay your bills, it's just like anything else. Somebody's going to come and get it. Sure.
And I think this person, for the most part, worked in the office. But how cool. Think about it. It's like you have to be sneaky because you have to go behind their back. You have to get a licensed pilot. You have to figure out when that airplane is unattended. You have to go steal the airplane.
It's really not that bad. I actually have a friend who was in this, believe
get
it or not.
Here.
Well, he was a Marine and he works on planes still to this day right now. But he worked on drones and all sorts of stuff. And now what he does is refurbish airplanes where they send him out to that Arizona Arizona, there's this big airplane graveyard where they go, they get the plane running again, and then they bring it back, and they usually sell it to other countries. But before that, and sometimes even in relation to that, airplane repossession is one of those things. The guy who's coming to repossess the plane, he's also the pilot. It's always like it's like one, two guys usually because it's a small plane usually. Mm. And they just come in the dark of night sometimes and
imagine like you're the person that hasn't paid your bill. You're just in the bathroom and all of a sudden you're like, what? Is that my plane? Yeah. Is my plane leaving?
Well, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of times these are like small pilots. So, you know, they're not there all the time, right? It's like their hobby thing.
But the most surprising job on your resume, I started thinking about it because it like stopped me in my tracks. And I'm like, wow, you know, like I think everybody's got that one or two jobs that people look at it and they find it intriguing. For me, it was that. What job would I find most surprising on your resume, Raven?
Well, I mean, you know me pretty well at this point, but I would say a lot of people are surprised when they find out that I was a dealer in Las Vegas, that I used to work in the casinos. I did that in between a radio career. So I had gotten out of radio for a little while. It wasn't something that I had started beforehand and then got into radio and then done after. And I did construction and I poured concrete and I did a bunch of other stuff, too. But I would say Vegas is probably the most interesting. I mean, I've been in radio a long time.
I'm looking at our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, and Danielle wrote, I was a shoe saleswoman for Sears. Mm. Need silver or gold easy spirits? I'm your girl. Shoe salesman. That's funny.
Yeah.
I think for me, I've had a lot of different careers, believe it or not.
It's striking.
Yeah.
Really, how many you have had.
But people always think it's really surprising when I say, like, I was a Zumba instructor for over a decade. I was Zumba instructor until last October when I blew out my knee.
Yeah.
I was teaching a class. Like, I loved it. It was like my stress reliever, and I used to get down.
I think the most surprising to me one was when you told me that you were a teacher.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, not Zumba. When you told me you were an actual English instructor, that was surprising to me when you told me about that.
I taught high school English for 2 years, and then I realized that it was a big mistake, and I never should have gotten my master's in education. And I taught adjunct. I mean, you can tell right now, but I talked. Can I speak?
Right.
I taught public speaking. Can you imagine? I taught public speaking at Pace University, even though I could not just get those words out.
And you did a great job.
Back then.
I decided to be a Vegas dealer just after watching Rounders, the movie, and the World Series of Poker. So, I mean, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get out for a while. I want to do this.
Oh, my gosh. The irony that I taught public speaking, I could not just speak. The surprising job on your resume. What is it? 1-800-330-9999. Looking at our text line, Raven, I love this. I was a sweepstakes guardian angel, quote unquote guardian angel, for Reader's Digest. Part of my job was to accompany the sweepstakes winners when they came to New York for big check ceremony.
Oh, how exciting that would be.
And yes, we really did give away millions of dollars in sweepstakes money. That's cool.
Yeah, somebody's got to do that job, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you believe that somebody has to do that? That's pretty great.
I have a friend that she worked for Jerry Springer and Maury Povich, and then she had a book called The Colorful People That Would Come On. You know,
there was a time that Anna and I went down to Jerry Springer.
Yes.
And we brought a busload of people. And it was a trip. And we ended up doing like the cut-ins and cut-outs for the show and whatnot.
That's a cool job, too.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
What's a surprising job on your resume? Hi, Ron.
I used to be a pro wrestling ring announcer.
Wow, really?
Yes, sir.
So were you doing that for WWE or one of the other divisions? What were you doing that for?
It was a company called ECW.
Yeah.
When I lived in Florida, they used to tour like every 3 months. So I used to work for a guy named Paul Heyman, who's very big in WWE right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ECW, I mean, that's a legitimate thing. I remember that. I remember the tours. I remember it being on television. And I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but I do remember that.
Can I have a sample? Can I have a sample of how you would call something?
From West Newbury, Massachusetts, weighing 240 pounds, ladies and gentlemen, John Cena!
Woo! I thought he was going to use your name.
Yeah. You still got it, buddy.
Yeah, man. That's an awesome surprise. That is a great story to tell, too.
You got it. Yeah.
Rebecca, what's the most surprising job on your resume?
I used to be a sommelier.
Oh, like a wine expert?
Yes.
I always thought that was the perfect job. You just get to open wine and talk about wine, and like, then you have to know all the differences. And
yes.
The truth of the matter is, like, I just want to drink it. I don't need to know the tangents or whatever other stuff is called.
I had a friend that they were the same. I'm not sure that he was a certified sommelier, but he was a wine expert. He worked at a vineyard, and that was his job, was to sell people wine and talk about wines as people would come in and whatnot, and you know, talk to the couples that would come in for banquets and stuff. Now he sells pharmaceuticals.
Oh. Very different.
I mean, either way, well, kind
of. I be a wine expert? I drink plenty of it. I just feel like, but you have to actually be trained, right?
Yes, you do.
Right.
Yeah, like, and there's like a few different certifications I think you go through too. And there's like smelling things and all sorts of stuff. Wow.
I just don't understand why you have to spit it out. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. I'm never doing that. Right. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah. I like when you go to the vineyard and they like give you like the water and then they give you like the spit jar. Like, listen, you keep your spit jar.
Right.
I got this covered. I'm a pro.
Chelsea, what's the surprising thing on your resume?
Booking tour guide, like drinking tour.
Oh, wait a minute. I love tour guides. How do you guys remember so much stuff? And it was a drinking tour? Where? Well, I need to know all these things.
Look at you.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, local and...
What city, though? I mean, it's got to be a place that's interesting enough where people will just show up and drink.
New Orleans. Yeah, you definitely want to be drinking all the time as much as possible.
So, wait a minute. New Orleans drinking tour. Are you guys walking? Are you taking one of those bicycle bars? Like, what are you doing? Double-decker bus? What?
The one I did was walking tour, so we're not getting in a vehicle. It's kind of like a pub crawl, but with like a history on top of it about the city.
And then after, if they like you and you did a good job, like they're supposed to tip you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
What's that surprising job on your resume? 1-800-330-9999. Karen wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, she's a cat talent manager. Her cats do modeling, commercials, TV shows, movies, calendars. And she sent links to a lot of the commercials. They're like big time national commercials.
I mean, I feel like you just have really relaxed cats, right? Right? And you just wave a treat or maybe, you know, pull out your laser pointer. But I'm sure that there's more to it. That is fascinating.
Isn't that awesome? I was like, cat talent manager? What? How do you sign me up for that? Sarah, what's the most surprising job on your resume?
I would say sandwich artist.
Oh, you worked at Subway?
I did. But I love the title. It's just so poetic. But yes, I was a sandwich artist. I had to get a work permit. I started when I was 15. And the technique back then was a little bit different. Sure. And we had a lot of pride in being sandwich artiste.
That's pretty cool.
You know, it's funny because you are not the first sandwich artist we've talked to.
Mm-hmm.
And they all... regard themselves that way. The training must be pretty good at Subway because
good.
Right, because there's like this pride there that they're like, no. Other people make sandwiches, bro. I'm a sandwich artist. I worked for Subway.
That's right.
Sounds so good. I would love one of those sandwiches right now.
And you know what? They do look like the new ones are really good.
Yeah.
They do look good. I'm hungry.
Tyler, what is a surprising job on your resume?
I kid you not, I was a harbor seal impersonator for a children's play at a zoo. And they had me head to toe in black spandex. And I flopped around on the stage and basically fell asleep. Because if you've ever watched a seal, they don't do too much. But I don't know. It was a job. I got paid for it.
Somebody paid you for that.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, when I got to be honest, listen, I love animal life, all right? Mm-hmm. Sea life, aquatic life, all that. I had a cousin that she thought it was her life calling. Then she went to college and then decided it was better to just, I don't know, hang out and do nothing. I have donated to aquariums over the years and so forth. If anybody told me that my donated dollars were going to paying for somebody to sit in spandex and impersonate an aquatic seal.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for procreation purposes for the seal? What are we paying that person for?
All I keep thinking is, well, I thought you were going to say you wanted that job. And I was like, I don't know, Raven, about head to toes black spandex for you.
No. No. I mean, it's amazing you got paid for it. That's amazing.
I just want to know what the interview is like. But like, what do they ask
you?
You
know what? We're doing the interview again right now, man. Do it. Yeah. Do it. Do it. Give us your seal noise.
They literally wanted to know if I could sound like a seal, and I can do it. You guys want to hear it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, 100%. We've come this far.
All right, ready?
Yep.
and I booked the job.
Are you sure this wasn't for procreational purposes?
I mean, that was great.
That was like a mating call.
That was great.
That was hot. If I was a SEAL, wow.
Thank you. Thank you. It took graduate school for me to get that job, I'm sure.
Just curious. Mm. Do you still get in trouble with your parents even though you're a grown-up? Oh, my gosh. My mom yelled at me twice this weekend like I was a child.
Well, I'm guessing that you probably deserved at least one of them.
I don't know. You know, like when you would do things as a kid and you weren't allowed, like the rules where you weren't allowed to do it. But now that you're an adult and you like live on your own, you're like, I'll just do whatever I want. Right.
Sure.
One, I wasn't wearing a coat right one day.
No.
And she was like, where's your jacket? And I'm like, I don't know. It's not really that cold, Ma. I didn't really need one. And she's like, you left the house without a jacket?
You left the house without the jacket?
Yeah.
It wasn't even in the car.
Nope. Left the house without a jacket.
Oh, that was a bad choice, though.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I'm a grown-up. If I decide I don't need to wear a jacket, I don't have to wear a jacket anymore.
What happens if it gets cold?
I understand.
What are you going to do if it gets cold?
I get how it works.
All right. When you have a sore throat, who are you going to have to blame? All right? All right. You want to wear no jacket. You know so good nowadays, huh?
She was horrified by that.
Yeah.
Horrified that I love that. Oh, that's the example you're going to make for your children?
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Now you made your children sick on top of it.
I feel like saying Hayden is a teenager now. She never wears a jacket. I don't understand how teenagers never wear coats.
I support your mother on this one, though.
Second one, I left the house without washing the dishes first. And I don't know why this is such a big deal growing up, but we did not leave the house unless all the dishes were washed, dried, and put away.
Yeah.
So she came over after we had gone out. And of course, my sink has dishes in them because I don't know. I'm a grown up and I didn't feel like washing them yet.
Right.
And she was like, oh, what is this? What is this? And I'm like, but who am I washing them for? If somebody breaks into my house when I'm gone.
You don't care if they see the dirty sink.
Like, you know what?
Right.
They deserve it. They deserve to see that to be horrified.
I don't know what. Yeah, that is an old school thing. That one I won't hang you up on. I mean, pour some water on those plates first before you walk out the door.
They're soaking.
All right. Well, that's fine. Right. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe they thought like somebody was going to show up unexpectedly with them. They just run into random friends out there and then invite them over. Anything could happen, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what's the thing that you got in trouble in, like as a kid, you couldn't do it, but now that you're an adult, you do it all the time? 1-800-330-9999. Jessica?
Yeah, I keep my refrigerator door open while I put my groceries away, and my parents would never let me do that.
The whole time you leave it open?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm pretty quick with it. I mean, I can I get everything out of the bags, and then I'm like, all these things go in the refrigerator, so I'm just going to leave it open.
My fridge yells at you when you do that.
Me too. It beeps. It beeps.
It aggressively, and it gets faster the longer you keep it open once it starts beeping. Yeah. Like a bomb almost.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's actually, it's genius because it's the only way I know that my kids have been in there and the little one hasn't closed the drawer all the way or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be like, what's that noise? And then after 5 minutes, I'm like, oh my gosh, the fridge.
But I respect your right to the freedom to do it.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I have an older model, so it doesn't beep.
Taps into that power grid. It just needs so much power. You're a terrible person, actually.
Sometimes it doesn't matter how old you get. There were rules that you had in place when you were a kid, and if you still break them, your parents will say something about it.
My mom will still yell at me whenever I'm out by my pool. Did you put on any sunscreen? No, Mom. No, I didn't.
But now that you're an adult, what do you do that you would never have been allowed to do as a kid? 1-800-330-9999. Allison.
Eat junk food. We never kept it in the house, and I keep it in the house all the time now.
I'm one of those people that I like to have a storage of all things. I mean, I got dog food for days. I got canned goods for us, right? I've got all sorts of stuff. And one of the things that I have, some junk food.
Junk food.
Yeah. Candy bars. A big box of them.
Do you really?
Yeah, just in case.
In case of what?
I don't know.
Oh, right.
In case I need one of them suckers.
Yeah. There's a hidden area of my refrigerator that my little one, Dakota, she doesn't reach it because it's way up high and it's hidden in the back.
Sure.
But it's where I put the good chocolate.
Oh.
So not like the Hershey
the cheap
bars
stuff,
and
right.
cheap stuff. You know, like there's like the good chocolate that every once in a while when I just need a piece, I go to that little stash mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, I can remember, like, you know, my parents, too, they always used to have us eating different things. My father, my stepfather, he loves salmon. He loves seafood. So salmon was something like, we were having salmon, like, once a week or whatever.
Really?
I probably haven't had salmon in 15 years.
I don't think I had salmon until I was, like, 34.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I don't even dislike it now as a grown-up when it's done right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I've had it in over a decade.
Really?
Yeah.
I had it last week. It was delicious. Jacob, what's something your parents never let you do when you were a kid, but now you do it all the time?
Oh, that's easy. Eat in front of the television. When I was a child, it would have been unheard of for us to have the TV on and eat dinner at the same time. Mm-hmm. But now, my parents, all of us, we just all eat in front of the TV. Everybody does. We even have all the tray tables and all that stuff. And like when we come over to visit mom and dad, we're eating in front of the television, which is so weird.
It was one of the clearest examples that I can think of when I was younger of the difference between being home at my mom's house or being at my dad's house. Divorced parents. Oh, yeah. You know, nowadays, the dad will buy a kid a dirt bike or something like that. My dad, first rule broken was, oh, we'll eat these TV dinners right in front of the TV.
Yeah.
After all, it's in the title.
It was never a big deal at my house because my dad, because he's a restaurant guy, was never home at night.
He was working,
right.
He was
working, yeah. So we would always eat in front of the TV. That was no big deal. That was our norm, to eat dinner in front of the TV.
Yeah, we never did that when I was younger. Wow.
Actually, it's a rule at my house. Like, well, I flip-flop on it. I shouldn't say that. But for a long time during the pandemic, I made us eat all our meals at the table. Now I kind of got lax on it.
Liz, what's something you were never allowed to do as a kid, but you do it now as an adult all the time?
Show some skin. I was forbidden to wear a bathing suit until I was 16 years old. I didn't understand, like, why so conservative when a lot of my kid friends were in bathing suits, two pieces, from the age of toddler, but I was not allowed to do that.
So, two pieces or just bathing suits in general?
Yeah, bikini.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I feel there's a lot of rules. I was never allowed to like wear crop tops or leave the house in my skirt too rolled up. Of course, I went to a Catholic school, so the minute I walked out the door, I would roll it up, but they didn't know.
Yeah, that's why you dress so promiscuous now.
But absolutely.
Yeah.
Every time Raven looks over, he just shakes his head in disapproval.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the priest.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Maddie and Anthony. Maddie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Well, I guess we're not seeing eye to eye on this situation with our son. He's such a bright kid and has so much potential. He's a senior in high school this year, and we're super proud of him. Love him, been supportive, of course. The problem is his path has changed. He was gearing up to go to college, had gotten accepted into some really great schools. And we were super excited about it, thinking, you know, once he got finished this year, he was going to go straight into college. And last week, he talked to us and said that he wasn't doing that anymore, that he didn't want to go to college right now. He wasn't sure when he wanted to go, but that he just wants to get a job and wants to take the next year living at home with us. And disappointed, confused, but want to support him, you know. So I am okay with that. Like, he's 18 years old. I think we need to let him make his own choices. Some kids take this gap year. Some kids, you know, aren't ready to jump into college. And I think that maybe that's him.
Anthony, I'm going to assume that you're not on the same page.
Well, we're not on the same page, no. First off, he's an honors kid. He's worked really, really hard to get the grades that he's gotten, and it's paid off. He's been accepted to pretty much every college that he's applied to. So for him to say, I'm going to just stay here and loaf with you guys, you know, I mean, if he doesn't want to go to college, then he's going to have to find his own apartment. He's going to have to hold down a job. He's going to have to see what life is truly like, because he's going to college. Like, he has to go to college, especially in this day and age. A college degree is what a high school diploma was 25 years ago. I mean, I understand he's 18 years old. He's got to make his own decisions. I personally feel many of his friends aren't going to college, so he doesn't want to go to college.
That's a tough spot, right? I mean, you see all the work that your kids put in, and obviously we grow up with a plan for our children, whether they want that plan or not.
Mm-hmm.
For some kids, I think it makes more sense to take a gap year than others. On the other hand, I'm not familiar enough to really understand what the opportunity is, too. Like, if you get a school that says, sure, we'll see you in a year, I guess that helps with your decision-making process. But if not, if you're going to have to reapply in a year, you're really willing to roll those dice when you're already in?
I mean, does he really just want to take a year, or does he just not want to go to college? Because that's the problem, too, is when you're home for a little bit.
You get out of the mode.
Especially if you're a smart kid and you start making some good money off the bat. But let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Maddie. He's your son, and this is what he decides he wants to do, and he wants to stay home, and you guys can help support him while he figures out his next steps, then great. But you may see Anthony's side, too. He worked really hard for this. He's your son, and you know that he's making a mistake. So pushing him and giving him an ultimatum, like either go to college or find a place to live, might not be the worst idea in the world.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Fired up today. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough. Yeah, parents are fired up. Yeah. So Maddie and Anthony have a son who's a senior in high school. He got accepted to really good schools, honor student, like got accepted to every college he applied to. Mm-hmm. And he's come to them now and he says, I changed my mind and I want to take at least a year off. I don't think I want to go to school. And Anthony is mad. He said, listen, he's either going to go to college or you're going to go find a place to live because you're not going to stay here.
Well, Anthony just says, listen, we're not going to give you a free ride to just figure it out. It's not like he came to them and said, I've got an interest in doing this or an interest in doing that. He said, I've got a few friends that are taking time off and I just want to relax for a while. And Maddie says, while it's disappointing, she's okay with it. Anthony says, listen, if you're going to do that, then you're going to find out what the real world is really about, right? We planned for you to go to college. It's tough when people decide.
What do you do? Would you force your child to go, or would you say, all right, you want to take a year, you can stay here, get a job, and kind of figure it out? 1-800-330-9999. Myra, whose side are you on?
I'm going to be on mom's side, even though I do agree with dad.
Well, that seems like a contradiction in the first 10 seconds. Can you explain why?
The reason why is because I, too, have gone through a very similar situation. My son, who is 24, soon to be 25. He also put college on hold, even though he honor student, decided to wait a year to go to college. He ended up finding a great trade opportunity, and he's now a contractor and a roofer and is making phenomenal money, probably more money than he would have with a college degree. And I think that it's sometimes it's best to just let a child decide, give him a year. I mean, college will always be there, you know what I mean? College will always be around, you know, even if you want to take a certificate program. But look at my son. He's now going to be 25, and he has a trade under his belt. He's in a union. He's making great money. He's got his own house. And why is that? Because I gave him that 1 year to decide and to figure it out.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. It's never hard when you really want your kids to do something and their plan does not match up with yours.
I think you mean it's never easy.
It's never easy.
Right.
Right. That's what I meant. Maddie and Anthony have that issue right now with their son. He's a high school senior. He got accepted to every college he applied to, honor student. Future is bright. Except now he's saying, you know what, guys, I changed my mind. I want to take a year off. And Anthony's like, absolutely not. If you do that, you're going to move out and find a place to live and get a job. You got to go to college.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, listen, I didn't apply myself that well, and I still went to college for a little while, and then I left after a semester or two because I said to myself, you know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. My son, he did not have those grades, same thing, but he's highly successful now at 25 years old. I know how it is. If you're ambitious and you've got the ability to get things done, you get in, you start making good money. You never really circle back, usually. That's just the only thing.
But Mom Maddie says, absolutely not. Like, we have to support him. If this is what he wants to do, this is what he wants to do. This is his future, not ours. Mm. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Yvonne, whose side are you on?
Not every kid is cut out for college. One of my three children chose not to go, and he's a commercial fisherman and makes crazy money. And at the age of 23, he bought his own home.
Yeah, it's impressive, you know.
He didn't go to college.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen.
But not everybody is cut out for college.
I agree.
Right. I mean, listen, I agree with that, too. At the same time, if your son doesn't have a plan.
That's a different story.
Right. I mean, that kind of, you know, it factors into it, right? And if they've been an honor student, right? Like, that's something you got to take into account.
Ava, whose side are you on?
I say he goes eventually, but I think he should wait to go if he's not ready.
Keith, whose side are you on?
I am on the father's side 100%. Kids nowadays want to follow other kids, and you got to learn. 17, I joined the Marines. College wasn't for me.
But my father gave me that ultimatum. Get a job, get your own place, move out, because you're not going to sit home loafing off of us, and we're going to end up giving you more money than you are in college. I have a daughter in Harvard right now that wants to take time off. And I told her, there's only a 5% chance you're getting back into Harvard. So she ended up going away to college.
Gosh.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Imagine your child gets accepted to Harvard and wants to take a year. I'm like, No.
I will drag you there myself. Right. And I will sleep in the parking lot so I make sure you don't leave.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Maddie, our audience agreed with you today. You have to support him, and if he really feels like this isn't the right thing for him right now, that's okay. Maybe he'll change his mind. Maybe he won't.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That is what I've been feeling in my heart.
I don't know. Anthony, you going to be all right?
I'm not okay with that. I hear you and everything, but my views on this are that college has been happening since he was in kindergarten, and this is gonna be tough.
Definitely going to be tough, but we do wish you the best of luck. And if anybody else has an issue too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com. It's always hard for a parent when your dreams for your kids doesn't pan out and you have to realize that they're your dreams and not theirs.
Sure. The problem is, too, is that the kid can change his mind, though, in a second's notice. And a lot of these things you've got to plan for ahead. It's a tough spot to be in.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700. All right, Casey, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Hey, Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, Casey.
Thank you.
Okay, so Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. The studio is soundproof. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. I'll ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's do it. Number one. Jersey Shore's Mike Sorrentino and his wife Lauren welcomed a baby girl. Mike Sorrentino is better known by what nickname?
Oh, Jesus. I'm not sure.
Number two, Abby Lee Miller is auctioning off items from her first hit reality show on Lifetime about a dance school. What was the name of that show?
Dance Moms.
Number three, Neil Patrick Harris surprised fans by reprising his How I Met Your Mother role in the season 2 premiere of How I Met Your Father. What's Neil Patrick Harris's character's first name on that show? Here's a hint. It's also a big purple dinosaur.
Barney.
Number four, it'll be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 57 on the 12th. What famous jewelry maker makes the Lombardi Trophy?
I'm not sure.
That's okay. And number five, a Bluey soundtrack is on the way. It's called Bluey Dance Mode, and it'll drop April 21st. What's Bluey's younger sister's name?
Not sure.
All right. Killing me, Casey. That's all right. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Casey.
Not great, not terrible, though. I mean, if they're so tricky. $700. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Jersey Shore's Mike Sorrentino and his wife Lauren welcomed a baby girl. Mike Sorrentino is better known by what nickname?
The Situation.
The Situation is correct. I'm trying to figure out why people still care so much about the Jersey Shore, and I feel like it's because we've grown up with them. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's a situation. You get to see him rise and fall, fail and all that. People love a comeback. It's America.
Number two, Abby Lee Miller is auctioning off items from her first hit reality show on Lifetime about a dance school. What was the name of that show?
Gosh, which one was the first one? The dance school, huh? The show?
Yeah.
The school.
The name of the show?
Dance Moms.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. You guys are tied at 2. Number 3, Neil Patrick Harris surprised fans by reprising his How I Met Your Mother role in the season 2 premiere of How I Met Your Father. What's Neil Patrick Harris's character's first name on that show? Hint, it's also a big purple dinosaur.
It's got to be Barney.
That's right. Number 4, it'll be the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 57 on the 12th. What famous jeweler makes a Lombardi trophy?
Tiffany's.
Tiffany's does. Am I boring you with
sorry.
That yawn? I'm
Stop.
Sorry. I'm
I was up late. Watching the games.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right. Number 5, a Bluey soundtrack is on the way. It's called Bluey Dance Mode, and it drops April 21st. What's Bluey's younger sister's name?
Pinky.
No.
No idea.
Bingo.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was my next guess.
And here's what's going to happen. Bluey's going to put out an album. All the kids are going to love it. And then there's going to be a tour where they're all going to dress up, and then we're all going to have to go to the tour with our kids. Yeah. I see exactly where this is going.
It sounds like you're in for $200 over the next 12 months.
Absolutely. All right, Casey, I'm sorry. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right, thank you. This is Casey, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time, man. Enjoy that shirt. $800 tomorrow, Anna.